Yes, you're on the podcast where we talk trash about the things people love to hate and hate to love. And we're your hosts, Shelby and Matt.
And welcome to the 2026 movie preview.
I know. Where you get to find out what you need to care about. It's coming out in 2026 with absolutely no wrong takes ever.
No, only
always
right
on
takes.
The money.
Always on the money. And also, we only definitely do movies that are 1,000% coming out this year.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
won't be bumped. And maybe
exactly.
We'll talk about them again next year.
We never ever miss one. Mm-mm. No, but this is a fun episode. I was worried we were gonna accidentally skip it, so I'm glad that I remembered because I'm a
yes.
master podcast producer.
Right. No, you are.
Keep
I'm
us
always
on our
forgetting
toes.
Things.
But I was looking through, so for anyone new to our growing burgeoning
yes.
audience, we like to take a chance to look forward to the movies that have been announced for 2026 and say what we're excited about and what we're not looking forward to.
Yes.
While also giving our best guess on a final Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yes.
This isn't really based on anything. A lot of people would argue that Rotten Tomato scores are confusing and don't really mean anything, but mm-hmm. they're what we do because we're nothing yes. if not mainstream. And that's it. That's the metric. So last year we did this and I looked through some of those takes. Which you know what? I am happy to say that we tied for most close guess. So you
okay.
got 14 and I got 14.
Oh, okay. So yes. Okay.
It's like,
wow.
Yeah. So we were pretty split. You know, we were both C students on mm-hmm. how well we were able to predict these
Does
movies.
That mean two of the movies didn't come out yet? What were those?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was Mother Mary.
I've been talking about Mother Mary for 45
years. I know.
We're going to talk about it again.
And the other one was yours too, which was Passion of the Christ, which I don't think came out.
Wait. Oh, yeah. The Passion of the Christ
the sequel.
Too. I forgot about that.
I did it again.
Oops. I died again.
I don't know where that is.
Oh, well, now it's slated for 2027. The
okay,
Resurrection
yeah. so
of
we've
the Christ.
Got to
so that... Oh, the Resurrection of the Christ. Okay, wait. Okay. People, I'm sure care about this a lot. The
Resurrection
of the Christ, Part 1, is an upcoming American epic biblical drama film directed by Mel Gibson.
Yes.
It is the second installment in a trilogy, the
oh.
sequel to The Passion of the Christ. And so this
is
called
the
Resurrection of
the
Christ,
Americas?
Part 1. I don't know.
Is
but
it
they
the
also
Mormon
have a
version?
New person playing Jesus. So.
I mean, of course. You have to. He's a new person now. He's resurrected.
If you had to guess what country the actor playing Jesus is from, where would you guess?
I guess statistically, I'd say America.
Nope.
Israel.
No.
I don't know.
Finland.
Yes, the whitest Jesus there ever was. Oh,
I'm like, I actually don't know what. Maybe he's not white. Let me
You're
Google
right,
him.
You're right.
No, he looks pretty white.
Yeah.
Jaakko Otenen is his name. He is a Finnish actor and will be taking over the role of Jesus.
That's
so
beautiful.
Something we wow. have to look forward to in March 26, 2027. So next
wow.
year we'll sort of circle back.
Okay.
This.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Well, in the meantime, the worst guess I had, the one where I was most off, was
okay.
for F1, which
oh, did you
which
say it was
I
be
was
bad?
Like, this is trash, and I hate that it exists, and I tried to say that it would settle in at 35%, but
oh
yeah,
no,
actually, it's at 82. So it's the industry plant of movies, and I do not think it deserves to be in any sort of award cycle, but I'm sure it'll get some. Technical.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I did not hate F1.
I thought it was
a fun little movie, but
it was so dumb. But it's fine. Your worst was Jurassic World. I don't know what was happening. I didn't go back to listen, but you said it would get 100%.
That can't be true.
I don't know.
I'm like, that's a typo. That is
maybe Cosby was like, it'll be so funny if I say he said 100%. And you know what? I was right. So
I'm like, this was rigged.
Are you going to go back and listen to the episode, Matt? No, are you going to do this?
But I'm like, what sort of like quaalude was I on?
You just love Jonathan Bailey. 100%. You were like,
oh, like, man. I'm like, am I doing bits with these scores?
I know. I was like, I mean, unlikely. You couldn't have said 10%, so it couldn't be a typo that way.
I don't know. I think I could have said 10% because I do feel like the last ones have been bad. Because you were like
Jonathan Bailey and Scarlett Johansson, and the trailer looks fun.
I was hyped. Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Anyways, it settled in at 50%, so you weren't like that off.
I was quite a bit off, but yeah. Whatever my fake score.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we were both pretty bad with, do you want to guess which movie we were the most off on? Do you have any recollection?
Give me a hint. Give me a hint.
It has music in it.
It's a musical. Oh, was it Wicked for Good?
No. It was Opus, which we both were optimistic about. We were like 83, 78, but it was 39.
I still listen to the music from Opus, though. I didn't hate Opus as a movie. It had its moments.
People just don't get it. Yeah. Dina Simone for life, you know?
For whatever reason, Opus is intrinsically linked in my mind to Death of a Unicorn, I think, because they came out around the same time.
Yeah.
And I keep forgetting who was in which one and what happened in them, even though one of them...
They're so different.
Crazy
There's
killer unicorn.
Nothing similar
I'm
about
like,
this.
Was Jenna Ortega in Opus? It's like, no, she was not. She was in the other one.
No.
With fake acne. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know what else is On Becoming a Guinea Fowl was featured in that roundup.
Okay.
And you guessed 94% and it actually sits at 100. So just about where you thought Jurassic World would be.
Okay, yes.
And
well,
those
two movies are very similar. Maybe
I mean, especially in your mind where it's like, oh, killer dinosaurs, killer ant saving the children.
I need to rewatch it. I stand by my opinion until I have rewatched On Becoming a Guinea Fowl.
Yeah, for sure. But no, it was a pretty good year. And you know what's interesting is I ended up liking 6 out of 10 that I said I would like.
Okay.
And 2 I didn't end up seeing, which probably counts as also not liking them,
which
I guess.
Which 2 did you not see?
I did not see Love Me, which was that like...
Oh, I don't even know what that is.
Like Kirsten, Kristen
Stewart. Oh, the
Stewart,
Kristen Stewart. Like, yeah, no, yeah, with like about the satellites or whatever. That like nobody saw that.
And The Legend of Ochi, which I do mean to watch, but I just never
have. Oh, yeah, I like The Legend of Ochi. It's good. The Legend of Ochi is good because, I mean, for various reasons, but like the Ochi are all puppets, which I think is cool.
Yeah, cute. Mm-hmm. Love a practical effect. Speaking of, primate. Practical man in a suit pretending to be a monkey.
Oh my gosh. So, okay, well, good to know.
No bad CGI there.
The way that we do this every year is we look through the lineup of movies coming out tentatively, and we each pick 10 that we're excited about, 5 that we are not excited about. So we have 30 movies to get through. We will try to do it fairly quickly, especially since some of these we have maybe already talked about before, or like, you know, we know the general gist of them. But there are some in here that are like a little bit interesting. So
yeah. And as always, I start us off with some optimism for these February months. But coming out this month is 28 Years Later, The Bone Temple. 28 Years Later was one of my picks for last year, and I stand by that. It's an excellent film. And this sequel looks great, too. It's directed by Nina DaCosta. It was filmed at the DaCosta. It was filmed at the same time. And so it's a exact like follow-up, which is nice because 28 Years Later kind of stands on its own, and it's a really beautiful like meditation on sort of grief and purpose and family and all this, and it's like actually such a good movie. I know you'll never watch it, but it's really good. And this looks a little punchier, a little bit more of like we become the monsters type of situation. But it looks really good. Early reviews are good. So I'm excited for it. That comes out January 16th. So this weekend.
Oh, and it was written by Alex Garland, which is also an interesting.
Yes.
Did he write them all?
Yeah, that he's the 28 years.
Oh, guy. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Okay. Because he did Never Let Me Go, which I liked, and then Annihilation, which I didn't like. But yeah, I have not seen any of the 28 movies. I probably won't see this one just because maybe at some point I'll watch them all if I need to for something or another. Who knows? If I get an assignment, I might. But yeah, I have also seen good reviews for this. I feel like I'm going to say 84.
Yeah. I'm going to say 90. I'm optimistic.
Okay.
I'm optimistic because that's where the last one's at. And then next we have Send Help, which I just saw the trailer for like the last time I was at the movies. And it stars Rachel McAdams and Dylan O'Brien. Hello. And it's about them. She is like his assistant and he's an asshole boss. And they end up crashing on an island and having to survive. And so it looks like it'll be pretty, I don't know if we're calling it, it's like a dark comedy. It's like a horror comedy. So it feels like it's sort of that Ready or Not energy where it's like, and sort of Ready or Not meets the Triangle of Sadness where you are anti-corporation, you're dealing with the human elements of having a boss you hate in an extreme situation where there's a chance to get your revenge. So I'm hopeful it'll be fun. I don't know if it'll be great, but they are like pushing it. So I'm going to say like 70%.
See, this I am very skeptical of. It's directed by Sam Raimi, which like, okay, cool. Yeah. He did the Spider-Man movies and some of these other things. But I feel like he's not had a great track record recently with things. Like he did this Doctor Strange in the Universe of Madness or whatever. The thing that I think is more problematic is, yes, this is basically the final third of Triangle of Sadness, but just like extended out into a whole movie. So I feel like we've kind of already seen this in a way that did really well. This did not play any film festivals. It's getting released in January. I feel like this is going to be bad. I'm going to say 48%.
Okay. I mean, you make a strong case, but you never know.
I mean, you know, Lord willing, it's better than that, but I don't know.
Okay.
My first movie on the list is Scream 7.
Yes.
Which I am not looking forward to. And this is sad for me because I really love the Scream franchise. Mm-hmm. But I really loved Scream 5, which was, you know, sort of like the reboot, the requel, if you will. Then we had Scream 6, which was the New York one that clearly wasn't shot in New York. I did not like that movie. I did not think it worked. I thought it was the worst of the Scream films by far. Then there was the whole debacle with Melissa Barbera and Jenna Ortega and like leaving the project, maybe for scheduling things, maybe for, you know, political reasons. There was also the thing where they wouldn't pay Neve Campbell enough for the sixth one, so she didn't come back for that, but now she's back for this one. Like, it just feels like a sort of messy return, and I didn't look into exactly like who all of the various like producers and stuff were for these different decisions and if they're still on this one or if they've gotten all new people, but I think there is still some overlap. Because I don't remember ever reading a headline that was like, they've scrapped the whole team and they're restarting again. And also this, you know, it's come out pretty quickly. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's, the production is fraught.
It's messy.
I think there's going to be a lot of people who sort of like don't want this to do well, even if it is good. And I think there's a high likelihood that it's not. So I don't know. I'm going to give this a 64%.
Oh, wow. I said 40. But that's probably because I'm one of those people who want it to see badly, who want it to be done badly.
Yeah. But I mean, they're bringing back, like, Kevin Williamson is back, who is the writer of, like, the first one.
Yeah, but that was so long ago. It's, like, irrelevant. You know, there's no proof that he'll be the best.
Well, and now he's directing. So I don't know how that, like, necessarily factors in either. But
yeah. 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 It feels like sort of like the Halloween trilogy where you're like, ooh, yeah, this will be great again. And then it just suddenly gets bad.
Yeah, no. And those were terrible.
Yeah. Okay. So February 13th, we all know Wuthering Heights is coming out. They just did.
I think I'm going to die in this house.
They just did a like whole article about the costumes and everyone's mad because it's not historically accurate. And the more I hear about how little respect they're paying to the original setting, the more excited I am, because yes. I do not like this novel. Not like it at all. And so any twist that Emerald Fennell is going to give it, I'm like, okay, yeah, sign me up. Charlie XCX, sure. Like, latex gowns, yeah, why not? Like, I do think that the star power of Margot Robbie and Jacob Elordi is enough to, like, get me on board with anything. And at first I was like, well, a period piece, like, kill me. But now it seems, like, fun and funky and disrespectful in a way that I really respect. And so I'm hoping that this is just as divisive as Saltburn was, and without the whole, like, oh, she's coming from a privileged place, can she really speak on this sort of, like, zeitgeisty conversation? And this will just get the classicist mad, which I enjoy. So I'm gonna say that this is gonna get like a 70%.
Well, between people being upset about the costumes for this and then also people being upset about the costumes for The Odyssey and how those are not historically accurate, it's like, who, like, what? Since when are we going through movies being like, well, nope, and those buttons actually wouldn't have been manufactured until several years later? Like, who cares? I also don't like Wuthering Heights. I feel like, in high school, if you're a literary person, you're either a Jane Eyre girl or you're a Wuthering Heights girl. And I was always team Jane Eyre.
Yeah.
Wuthering Heights is, like, so depressing. Yeah. There's, like, the necrophilia of it all. like, there's just, there's a lot of weirdness going on. There's, it's creepy. Like, is he a pedophile? Unclear. Like, there's a lot of strange stuff happening. And I also think Wuthering Heights, like, and the reason why people like it is so much of just, like, the vibe of Wuthering Heights. Yeah. It's, like, it's so brooding and whatever. And so I'm intrigued to see what Emerald Fennell, who is such a vibes director, is going to do to this. I love the Charlie XCX. I don't care that Margot Robbie is too old.
Yeah.
I'm very intrigued by what they're going to, do with all of this, especially since there's a bunch of characters from the book that haven't been announced as characters in the movie yet. I think we've talked about this, how all of the, like, the flash, or not, there's a frame story in the book where it's they're setting in, like, you know, quote unquote modern day, and then they flash back to when Heathcliff and Catherine were, like, young and falling in love, and none of the frame story people have been cast, so I don't know what that means exactly.
I know.
Also, I loved Saltburn. I think that is such a fun movie, and while I don't necessarily think that, why am I forgetting the name of the Carey Mulligan movie?
Promising Young Woman.
While I don't think that that necessarily deals with sexual assault in the most sort of thoughtful way at points, I do think that that movie is, like, really well shot, well acted. Yeah. I like the music. Like, I think there's a lot of cool stuff going on with it. And I'm interested in Wuthering Heights. Mm. I do think that the film bros are going to be out for this one. So I think that that could lead to some Rotten Tomatoes shenanigans, because I think people want to dislike this. But yeah, I think, like, a 72 is, you know,
generous.
Like, around there, I think it'll be good.
Yeah. Well, it will be competing with Sony Pictures' Goat coming out that same weekend. If you haven't seen this trailer, congratulations. It is a animated film about a goat who wants to play professional basketball, which is a sport dominated in this world by bigger animals. And it's just such a dumb premise, and it feels like it's been done 57 different times. I mean, even just like the world building of Zootopia being like, I'm a bunny, but I want to be a cop. It's like, okay. Yeah. And it has ties to real basketball. I don't remember why. I don't pay attention. Maybe Steph Curry's involved. I don't know.
Yes, he's a producer.
Yeah. And so it's like, I just do not care. And on top of that,
He was a producer on that bad Space Jam sequel too.
Oh, probably. He? I mean, yeah, he's not good at basketball anymore, right? But no, it's just hilarious to me that Sony and Netflix have this like option deal between them, and they gave up K-pop Demon Hunters and kept this as their like moneymaker, their theatrical go-to. And it's just terrible. And I don't feel like it will find its audience easily. It's so strange. And so I'm gonna give it a 60.
I mean, I will say the thing about animated films is like they make money sort of whether or not they're good, just because everybody has to take their kids to them. And kids, you know, are more forgiving, shall we say, of bad movies. But yeah, this looks bad. I also think that the February 13th release date is not a good sign for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see this getting a 53.
Honestly, I probably went too high. Yeah. Probably going to be like a 35. I hope. And then proving that February remains my month, the next one I'm looking forward to also comes out that weekend. And it's called Good Luck, Have Fun, Don't Die. And it stars Sam Rockwell. And it's like another dark comedy about Sam Rockwell coming from the future to our present day and signing up these random people to come help him fight some sort of epic impending doom in his timeline. The trailer looks fun.
What was the movie that, was it Chris Pratt was in that we watched that was the same exact plot line?
Well, this is like, make it fun. And it doesn't, and it's not about aliens. I think it's some like sort of meditation
thing.
Yeah, it's like a meditation on like our current issues. I've heard it's like supposed to be pretty thoughtful. And I love Sam Rockwell. Like I can't help it. You know, he elevated that terrible Bryce Dallas Howard movie for me, and he just seems to always have a fun time, and I want to go along on the ride with him. And this is doing well already. The director is like from all over the place, but I think he did Mouse Hunt, which
yes, it's
which matters Vinci, to me.
Who did a bunch of the he's most famous for doing the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, the good ones too. Good for
him.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah. I'm actually seeing this one this week Wednesday or Thursday.
So jelly.
I'm very excited. I think this looks like a lot of fun. When I saw the trailer in theaters, I was like, oh, I need to see that. And it's also a like ensemble cast.
Yeah.
And it's like, Hayley Lou Richardson, Zazie Beetz, Juno Temple. Like, it's a fun mix of people. So I think that, this has good energy upside. And this is the type of movie that I think actually is well suited for a winter release, because it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes those need a little bit more time to like build word of mouth.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna say, like, I'm gonna give this a 92.
Cute. I gave it 90. We're so in line.
We are so in line. Okay. Next up, we're going back to animated to talk about Pixar's new movie, which is Hoppers. This has been in the works for quite some time. It has to do with a girl who's like an animal lover having her mind transferred into the consciousness of a beaver and then like talking to animals.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, so here's my pitch for why I think this is going to be good.
I mean, it's cute. Cute animals.
It does look cute. I think it looks funny from the trailer. And also, I feel like Pixar has been doing a lot of sequels Mm-hmm. They haven't done a lot of like original stuff recently. Mm-hmm. And I think in order for them to take a risk on like an original product that has no IP, they have to have felt like the script was really strong. And I also think that this movie looks like it's going to be sort of old school Pixar in that it leans more funny rather than the new school, like kind of adult depressing Pixar stuff that we've had as of late. So I'm intrigued. I think that this could be really good and could be sort of like the first new big Pixar movie that we've had in a while that people are excited about. So I'm going to give it an 88%.
Cute. I think it'll be like 72.
Okay.
I feel like that's fair. It looks like the animation's very cute. I want a pet beaver. Very cute. Okay, so my next one is March 20th, and that's Project Hail Mary, starring Ryan Gosling. This is based on a novel by Andy Weir,
who did The Martian.
Oh, I love this book so much. Like, it is so fun and good and heartfelt. And Ryan Gosling, of course, like, I'll see him in anything. But I do think that this, I'm interested to see how they do it. I feel like he's the right person to carry this because it does end up being kind of a one-man show. In the back half of the story. So it's just a lot of time with him. And I think that's, you know, a comfortable place to be. And I don't know. I think I love the book so much. I feel like it's going to be a fun movie. The Martian obviously is a similar style movie and everyone was gaga for that. This is a lot more quirky than that ever was, but I'm excited for this. The trailer looks fun. He looks personable. It's sort of like, yeah, I'm curious to see how they pull it off.
Well, it's also Lord and Miller are the directors who did the Lego movies, which I think are really clever.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think this also has the potential to be good. Everyone seems very, very excited about this online. Yeah. So I agree. I'm going to give this an 83.
Cute. I'm going to stay safe and say 90. Okay. Even though I think it could be higher, but that just might be my optimism, you know, naturally coming out.
I mean, this does, I feel like every year there's one movie that comes out in this like spring corridor that's really good and really inventive and like everybody has to go see and there's not a lot of competition for. And I do think that this feels like it could be that movie.
Yeah.
It could also be bad. You never really know with this time period, but speaking of movies that I think definitely could be bad, Ready or Not 2, Here I Come, comes out on March 27th. I famously loved the first one of these. Yeah. I think the first one is a perfect movie. I am slightly nervous that the second one is going to be bad because, like, Happy Death Day, the second one, was bad. Like, I don't know. Sometimes they don't get
it right. It's
hard
to follow up. Yeah.
Yes. But I think the cast is really good. Catherine Newton is joining as Samira Weaving's sister, I believe. And then also, like, Sarah Michelle Gellar is in it as one of the bad guys. Elijah Wood is going to be in it. Like, I think there is some fun elements. And I hope that they recognize that what worked in the first one was sort of the campiness of it.
Right.
And it seems like from the trailer that they have. So I don't know. I'm
Does
a little...
it take place like the day after? Is she wearing the same dress?
It's like very shortly after. It's like a it's the premise is like Double or Nothing kind
of.
Where it's like, oh, you survived the first one. If you survive this second one, then you actually become like a you get all the money from this company or whatever. But if you don't, then you die. But now like they're flying in the like the big guns to
try to kill
you. It's a little
more complicated. Yeah. Yeah.
So, I don't know. I'm interested. I'm going to give this a 67%.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like this will maybe crack 60.
Oh, okay. You think it's going to be bad.
I mean, I just think it's hard to follow up and I feel like it'll be a lot of the same things.
Yes. That's true.
And so it's sort of like, oh, okay, did we need this? But I think I might still, like, we might still have a good time. I just don't think it'll be that
Yeah.
Great.
Yes. Okay. Fine.
Yeah.
My next selection, which is a movie that I am excited for, is The Drama. This stars Robert Pattinson and Zendaya as a married couple, or as like an engaged couple, I believe. It feels like we don't really know very much about this. There's not a trailer out yet, I don't think. And it's a romantic...
Yeah, there's like a teaser.
Yeah, it's a romantic comedy. The premise is days before their wedding, a couple's relationship is shaken when one partner discovers unsettling truths about the other. Like, that could truly be anything. Yeah. Alana Haim is in it. Get the Haims are working. Yeah. But I'm mostly just like, it's Robert Pattinson and Zendaya. Like, how can I not love a movie that is those two in like a romantic comedy sort of space? Like,
I don't think we can call it a rom-com.
Oh, well, I guess it says romantic comedy drama in the...
Oh, okay.
In the... I'm thinking it's going to be like materialist kind of tone. Is that what you're getting? Or you think it's going to be... No.
But you know what? I got some sort of spoiler on Reddit where it's like, I read the screenplay and then it just says it like in the title. So I didn't get to dodge it. But...
Okay.
But I am curious if it's actually like true or not. I didn't dig into it more.
Okay.
But it is kind of like, it is interesting the way it's being like propped up. I think the fact that they're marketing it, they're like really hopeful that it's going to be like a big deal. They like took out an actual engagement like announcement in the, I don't remember what
Boston
paper.
Boston Globe, I think.
Yeah. So that's like fun. And I do love them. I think there's a lot of, you know, talent and charisma there. But I am curious.
Is this going to be like Serenity where it turns out they're in a video game the whole time?
Yeah, how'd you know? Just kidding.
That's the plot twist? That's what you read on Reddit?
Yeah, it's actually just a sad person playing One Life. I don't know. Is that coming back?
Me on Reddit, I've just created a fake account. Yeah. I've read the screenplay. They're in a video game about every movie.
Yeah.
It's like Nuremberg. I'm like, I've read a movie. I've read the screenplay. It's about a video game. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm curious. I feel like it'll get like a 70.
Okay. Now, this next one on the list, I am.
Wait, but what's your timing guess?
What's
your
my guess?
Percentage?
I'm going to say 84.
Oh, okay. Perfect.
I think this looks good. I'm shocked. I am literally floored that this next one you selected as a movie you're looking forward to.
Are you joking? I
saw this trailer in the movie theater, and I thought that might be the worst movie I've ever seen.
No, like, you just this don't get it. You just
so
don't
bad.
Get it.
It looks heinous.
But it's not please, for you. It's for the girls.
I'm like, set up You, Me, and Tuscany.
Yes.
A great title.
Thank you. You, Me, and Tuscany is a return to the classic theatrical rom-com moment, okay? Does the trailer give the entire plot away? Yes. But it also shows a lot of fun being had,
bad.
A lot of shirtless moments to be enjoyed. This is a rom-com starring Miss Little Mermaid herself, Halle Bailey, and Regé Jean Page from Bridgerton.
Yes.
And it's just the craziest setup. She randomly meets a stranger who admits to having this villa in Tuscany. And so she decides to go stay there. With no absolute insanity, just right off the bat. I want my leading rom-com girly to be that close to prison time. Like, that's the exact that's the exact formula I want in a movie. Okay. And once she's caught in a sort of while you were sleeping twist, she's like, oh no, I'm getting married to the guy who owns this, so it's chill that I'm here. Fine. She dodges prison, but now she's introduced to the hot like groundskeeper dude. And she's like, wait, I actually like him. And how can you have a healthy relationship off of those lies? You can't, but it looks like a fun, delusional time. And you know what? Shot on location, love it. I'm all for this. Like, I've missed this sort of Confessions of a Shopaholic zany rom-comedy entering the theaters. So I support indie artists and small small films. And I will be there. I will be there. I will be seated for this.
For whatever reason, this was giving me Mafia Mama energy.
No, which no, you're reading it wrong.
Which is a movie that I liked, but everyone else hated. And I thought, oh, this must be based on a book that, like, you know, is like a bestseller in the romanticy or whatever genre. No, it's not. No. It's just an original screenplay.
It's not.
It is directed by the person who directed Marry Me, the Jennifer Lopez movie, which I did like.
There's fun to be had. You just have to lean in. Eat, pray, love.
I think this is going
to
be so bad. I'm sorry. I'm giving this a 22.
Well, I agree. I said it will be 30, but I'll be excited for it nonetheless. Okay.
I am not. I don't want to watch this movie at all.
Well, April 14th, we'll be doing an episode on it. So mark your calendar.
And then another movie I'm not excited about is Michael Jackson biopic that is coming out, starring Michael Jackson's nephew Jafar Jackson as Michael Jackson.
Twist. Michael
follows Michael Jackson from his time with the Jackson 5 to becoming a global pop icon in the 1980s. Interesting that they're not going further than that into the section of Michael Jackson's life that I would think would perhaps be the more interesting section to
unfortunate.
Deal with.
Yeah. The complicated legacy, you know?
Like, this is clearly like another hagiographic Michael Jackson project, like MJ the Musical. I just don't understand why we in 2026 are still so desperate for Michael Jackson to be like a good person when clearly he was a pedophile sex offender. Mm-hmm. I think there's like loads of evidence of that. I will not be seeing this movie. I will not be supporting it. I'm just like, I am sick of Michael Jackson. I understand that he is dead. And so the money and whatever is not going to him. It's going to his children. I don't, you know, I'm not someone who's like, oh, we can't be listening to Michael Jackson at a wedding or whatever. Like, I'm fine with that. But I don't understand why. And I would be fine if we want to do a Mamma Mia-esque style musical that involved Michael Jackson's music. Also fine with me. But I don't understand why we're making a movie or a Broadway musical that are like, oh, look at Michael Jackson. He was this good, talented guy. It's no, he wasn't. And I don't know. It's confusing to me. And I think there is a Michael Jackson movie to be made that is interesting and good, but it is not starring Michael Jackson's family members and supported by Michael Jackson's estate. Like, it's a much more thorny piece that I want to see. And I think, like, with Elvis and, you know, like, Priscilla, that's a movie that I think deals with Elvis is kind of a bad, creepy person in a more, like, thoughtful, head-on way that, like, yes.
You think the Austin Butler Elvis did?
No, not that one.
Oh,
Priscilla.
I mean,
but even Elvis, the movie with Austin Butler, like, I don't know. Like, I don't think necessarily makes Elvis look like a great person. But I didn't like that movie either. And I do think that Elvis is I don't know. I'm like a better pedophile. I don't know. Unclear. But I don't know why we're doing this. I don't want it. I sort of don't think that it's going to be that good. I do think it's weird that it's coming out in April. That feels like a very strange release date for this when it feels like it could be such like an Oscar baity movie, which makes me think it's bad. Like, I don't want it.
I know. But if you had to rate it.
But if I had to rate it, what do I think people will give it? I'm going to say a 63.
Okay.
I think there's going to be people who are out to get this movie and will be giving it bad reviews. So
that's true.
I think that it's getting weighed down a bit.
Okay. Well, just in case, because I think it might be higher, I'll say 65, and then I beat you. So that's what counts.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that we were doing Price is Right here with pedophilia.
Okay, but rewinding to 2025, we're here to talk about...
Rewinding to 2022, or whenever this movie first came up, we've got Mother Mary back again.
Yeah.
There is a trailer and a release date for this now, so I feel like it will be coming out this year. It's scheduled for April 24th. This is the Anne Hathaway, Michaela Cole movie where Anne Hathaway plays a pop star, Michaela Cole plays a fashion designer. They were in some sort of like lesbian relationship. And based on the trailer, for some reason or another, Anne Hathaway needs a dress and has to go back to her ex and be like, hey, I need a dress. And Michaela Cole's like, okay, I'm going to make you one. And it's like a psychological erotic thriller kind of vibe to it. We also have Hunter Schafer, FKA Twigs. I think Charlie XCX also did music for this movie. She's got three movies coming out with music. So that's...
she's booked and busy this year.
She is booked and busy. However, I will say, based on the trailer, I think this is going to be bad.
You have to be a little realistic.
So
this is your You, Me, and
I'm going to give this a 48.
Yeah, I'm settling in at 40. I don't think this is going to have any impact whatsoever.
No, unfortunately not. I think that no one is going to see this movie. It's going to make $3. I think its only saving grace is what we're going to get to next, which is that the devil wears...
The week before. Yeah, people accidentally step into...
Well, it's just that The Devil Wears Prada 2 comes out the week after Mother Mary, which I'm like, feels like a marketing, sort of like a genius marketing move, because all these people are going to book Anne Hathaway for... every talk show, hot ones, what like she's going to be doing a full press gamut, and she's going to have two movies to talk about. So I think that there will be like a like a people shot. Will be aware of Mother Mary, and I think people like potentially. I don't think that Mother Mary is going to be a movie that like no one ever hears about, just because there's going to be so much press. However, if it's bad and it comes out and then we have Devil Wears Prada 2, I think people might just like, you know, sort of
skip it,
not like still not go see it.
Yeah,
but it will be getting a full press run. So
yeah, because May 1st dawns with The Devil Wears Prada 2, which is on my not excited list, mainly because it feels so unnecessary and cash grabby. And like, the lightning in the bottle of the first movie was this sort of like unexpectedness and the newness of the, I mean, obviously Meryl Streep is established, but like Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, like there was something charming and like, oh, this is Hollywood's next It Girl with this. And you just can't catch that again. So it feels kind of like already you're going to come into it and it feels a little like grubby. It feels a little, I don't know. And I'm honestly not like the biggest Devil Wears Prada fan. Like, it's not like something I'm pining for as like a sequel. But I do feel like, that bias aside, the teaser for this just doesn't give. It's like, it's always going to feel a little cheaper. It's always going to feel a little bit like more, I don't know, like fake and always harking back to its roots. I don't know. I'm not like, I would not be surprised if this is not good. I would not be surprised if it's just serviceable, but I'm not that excited about it.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know. I think this could go a lot of different ways. It is scheduled for to come out the weekend of the Met Gala also. Mm-hmm. So I think that there's like some cool synergy that will be going on there that I'll be interested to see. I think that The Devil Wears Prada as a movie, like the original, is pretty straightforward. Like, the plot's not that complicated. That movie, I think, sort of lives on the fashion and like a couple of really good lines that are in the movie in the script. So I don't necessarily think that it would be that hard to make another movie that is that level of film, provided that there's lots of good fashion and, you know, there's some like quippy dialogue bits. However, we did like the Ocean's 8 was like a Met Gala movie, and it also starred Anne Hathaway, and it also felt like it was just like reheating something in a not great way. I'm a little bit nervous that this could be like a Freaky Friday 2 situation, which I also did not necessarily think was like really doing what it needed to. And I'm worried that this is going to try to like repeat some of the same things. Like, are we going to get another like Cerulean speech sort of moment? Like, I don't know. I think that this does though have the potential to be good just because everyone in it, I think, is good, and it's going to, and you know, the fashion is going to be cool, and it's just going to be like a fun vibe of a movie. I don't know. I don't think it's going to be as good as the first one, but I could see it not being terrible. So I'm going to say 74.
Okay. I said 69.
Okay. Right. Okay. So we're around the same place.
Yeah.
This next one, I don't even know what this is.
Oh, okay. So May 8th, my birthday, come celebrate with me because Sheep Detectives is coming out. Sheep Detectives is a ensemble movie starring
Sheep.
So it is starring Hugh Jackman and
The plot says a flock of sheep set off on a mystery to find out who murdered their shepherd.
Yeah, so it's half animated, half live action. So Hugh Jackman is the shepherd, and then all these sheep, voiced by like Molly Gordon, Emma Thompson, Bryan Cranston, Regina Hall, Patrick Stewart, Bella Ramsey, like this huge ensemble play sheep who decide that they need to figure out what happened because the other humans aren't doing a good enough job.
Oh, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is one of the sheep.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So it's like everyone and anyone is in this. It just looks fun. And I like a goofy swing. I like a good twist. I like a weird angle. I mean, we grew up on Babe, so it's not unheard of. And I feel like it's just odd enough, and it has so many people signed on that it's sort of like, okay, maybe, you know, it might work, you know. I mean, it is directed by the guy who did Despicable Me, which is like, okay, maybe not the greatest thing.
Who is the writer? That is my question that I am intrigued by. What has he written? He's written the Scary Movies.
He wrote Chernobyl.
Hangover Part 2 and Part 3. Mm-hmm. The Huntsman Winter's War.
Yeah. And The Last of Us. So
he wrote the, oh yeah, he did write The Last of Us.
So it's like he contains multitudes.
He's written a bunch of bad sequels to things.
Yeah, but this is his original, you know, I mean, not original. It's based on a child's novel, I think, but
called Three Bags Full.
Yeah, because they're sheep.
Okay, this, oh my gosh, this is such a wild selection.
But it's like the trailer came out and everyone was like, oh, okay.
Well, like, I don't know who everyone is. I've never even heard of this.
Everyone. Who's anyone.
Everyone in Shelby's mom group that's about to kick her out.
Anne Hathaway herself said, wow, high cinema. So
she's
I'm getting
not
it,
in this movie. This is the one movie in May she said, no, I'm good. I'm giving it
a 73. Because I think people will be like, oh, that's fun. I could honestly see it getting that like Wallace and Gromit treatment where people are like, wow, this speaks to
like 94.
Yeah, exactly. Honestly.
I think this looks stupid. I'm gonna give this a 43.
I haven't even seen the trailer.
I don't, but I think it looks judgment. I'm looking at the poster of all the sheep, and there's a magnifying glass.
I look forward to a year from now when I get to rub your nose and how badly you predicted the Sheep Detectives. Okay.
Okay.
continue on.
On May 15th, the movie Poetic License comes out. This is a little bit cheating on my part since I did see this movie already. This was at Toronto, and I think it's a very funny comedy. It's directed by Maude Apatow, Judd Apatow's daughter, and the star of Euphoria. But it stars Leslie Mann, who is Maude Apatow's mom, yep. and Andrew Barth Feldman, who's the kid in that movie with Jennifer Lawrence that you really liked.
Yeah,
And then also Cooper Hoffman, who is Philip Seymour Hoffman's son and the star of Licorice Pizza. The mom, Leslie Mann, is married to a college professor, and her daughter is going off to college, and she's sort of like an empty nester. She doesn't know what to do with herself. She decides that she's going to sign up to take like a poetry class in college, and she ends up like becoming friends with these two college guys. And it's just like really funny and sort of one of those delightful like intergenerational kind of stories. I found it really charming and sweet. I think it got like good responses out of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited. I will go see this again. Mm-hmm. Also, it has Maisie Stella in it, our girl from what was it?
You're
the Canadian
old.
Movie?
You're
yeah,
old
my
ass.
Old ass. Yes. So, and how can you not love her?
Yeah. Okay, so Nepo Baby.
Yeah, I'm gonna give this an 84.
Okay, I'll say 80 because I feel like people eat that shit up.
Okay, on March 22nd, we have The Mandalorian and Grogu, which I am not looking forward to. This feels so ill-advised to me on about 900 levels from Star Wars.
I mean, the show did well.
Yes, but what was the last show spinoff movie that really did well? But like captured the zeitgeist outside of just fans.
Well, I don't know.
Like that's what I'm saying. Like
you think Star Wars is over?
I don't think Star Wars is over by a long shot, but I think Star Wars needs a like reinvention, and I don't think that a movie that's a spinoff of a TV show that's a spinoff of a movie is like how it's going to get people. I think that The Mandalorian was very successful, and especially like the first season of it did really well. I don't know how many people have like watched all of The Mandalorian, and I mean, I'm sure if you watched all of Mandalorian, you're going to see this movie. But I think there's a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm a Star Wars fan, but I didn't watch all of these. Like, I didn't watch the Book of Boba Fett. Like, I'm not watching the TV show, and I don't know if that I want to go see this. I also don't think that The Mandalorian was all that good. I don't know. Like, I can see how on paper this sort of makes sense as a play of like, oh, we have this show that's attached to this franchise, let's make a movie. But I think there's just so much fatigue around all of these Disney properties. And I think what people are desperate for is like a cool, well-done reinvention of something. Like, I think Star Wars fans, what they want is, well, I mean, like Andor did really well, but I think what they want is like, here is the world of Star Wars. We're going to give you completely new characters in a really well-written script that's like interesting and new and fresh, and like anybody can go see it. You don't have to have seen Star Wars before. Like, welcome to a new era of Star Wars. I don't think that what like the larger public that's not like the Star Wars fans that are watching every single Star Wars show want is like this random sort of like spinoff of a spinoff.
I mean,
also, like, how many people know that Baby Yoda's real name is Grogu?
Well, I mean, to your point, I think it speaks to the fact that you don't have to have seen the Mandalorian show to go in and be like, oh, this is a new Star Wars movie. And I feel like then you get the setup of like the Mandalorian and
Grogu. I don't know. I think people are tired of Star Wars. Like, I mean, I am, for sure, but
do think it's Jon Favreau, it's Pedro Pascal. I feel like this will still get like 84.
I don't know. I think this, I'm going to say 72.
Okay.
I'm going to undercut you.
Okay. Well, June 12th, summer blockbuster. Disclosure Day is the new Spielberg film. Starring
that we don't know anything about, really.
Yeah, well, they just released the first like teaser where what is her name, Emily Blunt,
Oh, Emily Blunt is in this. Oh,
Emily Blunt is like a newscaster who suddenly starts speaking in alien tongues. And so it seems to imply that like there's this day where, I don't know, alien sleeper agents get woken up and the world implodes or whatever. I don't know. But, you know, I love an alien movie. I love a disaster flick. And I'm impartial to Emily Blunt.
You like Steven Spielberg, yeah?
Yeah, and Steven Spielberg, a classic.
Coleman Domingo's in it. It's an ensemble cast. There's a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth Marvel's playing a nun, apparently. We don't know.
It's great. Josh O'Connor. Yeah, it's going to be... It's a good time. Like, I don't know. What has Steven Spielberg been doing? I feel like... What did he
do? Well, he had the Fablemans, I think, was his... Was that his last movie? The Fablemans? West Side Story, Ready Player One, The Post. He's been doing more, like, sort of, I don't know, like, highbrow stuff. Yeah. So this will be interesting because it feels like we haven't really seen a disaster movie from him since... War of the Worlds, it looks like.
Oh my gosh, what an excellent film too. So
yeah, no,
what did War of the Worlds get? Probably not enough.
I think this could, also I feel like Steven Spielberg is someone who likes a practical effect, which I think I like. This poster is Emily Blunt, but then like there's a bird.
Who knows? It's something about birds. Love a mystery. Okay, love an original. Why not? So delightful.
It was written by David Kopp. Let's see what he has written. He wrote Jurassic Park with Michael Crichton. He wrote the original Mission Impossible movie. He wrote Spider-Man. Okay, this is a good screenwriter. He wrote Zathura. You know, he has to be good.
He wrote Crystal Skull, I think.
He wrote Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. Oh, he wrote Black Bag.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I think there's a tie here that you...
And Jurassic World Rebirth, which famously I thought was 100%.
You thought it was 100%, and you weren't wrong. Everyone else was.
I thought his Wikipedia page said that he was the creator of Hacks. No, he was the creator of a show called Hack with no S.
Yeah.
I think this will do well. I think this will be a big thing. I'm going to give this a 91.
Okay, yeah. I gave it a 85.
Okay. Then this next one is me. We have to talk about The Odyssey. Obviously, we're going to talk about The Odyssey. This is Christopher Nolan's big movie. Have you seen the trailer for this yet?
You know, I haven't even bothered.
Well, because it was a whole thing that I think it played before Avatar. I'm not sure if I'm sure it's online somewhere, but I haven't seen it.
You haven't? I did see the costume. Which is like the costumes are accurate. Oh
yes, no, yes. Well, we talked about that.
Which I care less about, honestly, but I do think in The Odyssey it would have been fun to have something more punchy than just your usual sad Roman garb. But it's Christopher Nolan, so fun isn't in his vocabulary.
I think that this has the potential to have a lot of like cool stuff in it, just because like The Odyssey is a journey, you know, there's like he's stopping at these different islands and he's meeting these different people. It's got a really big cast because Anne Hathaway plays Penelope, yes. Tom Holland plays the son, Telemachus. Matt Damon is Odysseus. But Robert Pattinson, Lupita Nyong'o, Zendaya, Charlize Theron, Benny Safdie, John Leguizamo, Himesh Patel. Like, this is a Mia Goth. This is a massive cast, and then there's more people who are in it that they haven't even really like announced. What, like Elliot Page is in it in some role, but we don't know what. I'm excited. I did not love Oppenheimer, but I do think that Christopher Nolan is a good filmmaker, and his movies are obviously beautiful to look at. I think that The Odyssey presents a little bit more of an interesting. I think there's more that he can do with it.
But it's also tough.
Like, it is.
There's too much. So it's like everyone's going to be judgmental of what he does keep, what he changes.
Oppenheimer felt like such a straightforward movie, you know, because it's like, okay, we're telling the life of this man that was an actual real man, and this is the things that happened to him. Where The Odyssey feels like between the frame story and the flashbacks and all of these different people on the islands and the magic and the gods and the whatever, that there's a lot of different things you could do. Like, Zendaya is playing Athena, like the goddess of wisdom. So mm-hmm. I don't know. There's a lot of cool stuff that could happen. And I do think that Christopher Nolan can bring this together well. Also, I've never seen a movie version of The Odyssey, I don't think. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would be fun to watch. Like, I read the book like 4 times probably between different classes that I was in. So
remember that J-Lo movie where she got assigned first edition of The Odyssey?
Yes. Oh my gosh. The boy next door.
So funny. Oh, every time now.
Iconic. Yeah. Iconic. And maybe she'll pop up, as a bookseller or something.
She could be like, who's the snakehead goddess?
Oh, Medusa? I don't know. I don't know if Medusa is Medusa in the Odyssey, doesn't appear? But I think Medusa's in the Hercules story. Maybe I'm wrong. I get my Greek mythology mixed up.
But I don't know.
Anyways, I think this is going to do well. I think people are going to like this, especially like all the film bros. Yeah. Like, this feels like it's like made to get an Oscar nomination. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give this 93.
Okay, I'm going to give it 90.
Okay.
Then we cut to Moana live action, July 30th. Absolutely a movie I'm not looking forward to. It does not need to exist. We just keep doing this and it's always going to be an issue. But I feel like Moana especially is like, what are we talking about here? If you make it live action, then you make this like lava monster even scarier. And like kids can barely already sit through the animated version. And then on top of that, it's like seeing the first promo and they give Moana a blowout instead of like her natural curls. It's like, what are we selling here, Disney? I don't like it. I feel like it's going to be the same pattern they're on with like Snow White failing, Lilo and Stitch failing. So I'm going to say
that
50.
Did well, the Lilo and Stitch one, unfortunately.
But I don't think critically, did it?
Oh, no, but it made a shit ton of money.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, of course it's going to make money, but it's not going to be good.
Is Penny excited for this?
I don't know if Penny's aware of future movies.
Okay. Will she be excited about it? Did she like Moana 2?
She loves Moana. She's does not know Moana 2 very well, I don't think.
Okay.
And the live action, I think, will just kind of confuse her. Like even now, it's like when she says Cinderella, she wants to watch. Well, that's not true. When she says Cinderella, she wants to watch the Rodgers and Hammerstein, which is very touching to me personally.
Oh, the Brandy one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know. But I'm not looking forward to this.
Interesting. Yeah, I am also not really. I actually haven't seen any of the versions of Moana. And I probably won't see this. So hard for me to gauge.
You have no skin in this, yeah.
But
number 100. I'll write it down.
100. Yeah. When we get to this part next year, and I have said 100 for multiple things, I'm gonna be more suspicious.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna give this a 75.
Oh wow. Okay. Feeling generous, Mr. Disney himself. Okay. Well, going to my next, not looking forward to it is.
Wait, what did you give this one again?
Oh, like 55.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, sorry, I don't have your optimism, but
okay.
Sense and Sensibility is getting a remake, which I know everyone's always like.
I was sort of
like,
shocked by your the fact that you weren't excited about this.
Well, there's two reasons. One, okay. Sense and Sensibility by Emma Thompson and directed by Ang Lee is already so perfect. It's like, why would we redo this? And I think it's similar to how people who love like the Pride and Prejudice Keira Knightley, if they were to remake Pride and Prejudice, they'd be like, but why? We already have the movie that's defined our generation of it. I don't think this is going to like excite people who are fans of like the story because mm-hmm. it's still so present in the pop culture, like the pop culture language of Austin films and adaptations is everyone loves, Alan Rickman as Colonel Brandon. And also they've cast Daisy Edgar Jones.
Daisy Edgar Jones.
And she just has iPhone face to me. Like, it's hard for me to accept her in a period piece like this, which is similar to how I feel about, frankly, Keira Knightley's whole cast. I do not love that Pride and Prejudice. So, best case scenario, this has similar vibes to that, and it's sort of like an atmospheric interpretation of the story, and Emma Thompson's can remain a better, you know, literal adaptation. But yeah, I just am not looking forward to it, and it would have to be really amazing to get me to think it's worth it. So
I'm like, when did the Emma Thompson one come out? 1995.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to take the opposite approach with this. So the director, Georgia Oakley, has only directed one film before this, which was this lesbian movie called Blue Jean that came out a couple of years ago that I saw and really, really liked. I think she's a very good director. So I'm excited about that aspect of it. While I get what you're saying about the Emma Thompson Sense and Sensibility, which I have seen and which I do like, I do think that the same criticisms came about when the Greta Gerwig Little Women remake was coming out. And I do think, I mean, that the Greta Gerwig version is so incredible. And
yeah.
And it's been... And it's been 30 years since the Emma Thompson version came out. Like, I
say that.
like I understand. Like, but here's the thing.
Hate crime.
That is like a version for Gen X. Like, yes, millennial people like watched that at some point, you know, because either they had older siblings who watched it, or they went back and watched it, or they showed it in a high school class or something.
Yeah.
But it's not like we were in the theaters watching that. So while I do think that Jane Austen like fans, like, the Jane Austen heads do really like that and quote cite that as one of the best versions of a Jane Austen movie, I don't think that we've really had a Jane Austen phenomenon since Pride and Prejudice with Keira Knightley, which again was
Dakota Johnson.
What did she do? Mansfield Park or whatever that nobody liked. Like, we're not counting
Persuasion.
That.
Yeah.
Persuasion. Is that what she did? And I guess we had the Emma that I liked that you didn't like. But I don't know. I think people are ready. I think that people are ready for, like, to get back into Jane Austen because, you know, I think especially with, like, the Bridgerton stuff that's going on. Like, I don't know. I think that we are due for a very good Jane Austen adaptation, and I think that this could be it. I understand that, like, Daisy Edgar Jones is sort of, like, too pretty kind of a vibe, but the rest of this cast is sort of like random people who I don't know that. Oh, I guess George Mackay is in this. I have no idea who Herbert Nordrum is, who is playing Colonel Brandon. And then also Fiona Shaw's in it. Like, exactly. I don't know. I'm excited. I think this will be good. And this also has a prime September release date. Like, this is definitely going to be at Toronto, I think. I'm going to say that this gets an 84.
Okay.
Well, what did you give it?
I gave it 70.
Okay. Okay. My next one is a little bit out there. Go with me. September 18th, we get the Resident Evil movie. They're doing a reboot of the franchise. Have I ever watched a Resident Evil movie? No, I have not. Do I know what it's about? No, I do not. However, why did I select this movie as something I think is going to be positive? Yeah. Because it is written and directed by Zach Cregger, a.k.a. the writer-director of both Barbarian and Weapons. I'm very excited to, like, this is his first franchise thing, and it's, you know, it's a reboot. So he, like, is taking something that he loves. He's coming up with a creative new idea for it. I think that this has the potential to be really cool. It's starring Austin Abrams, who I also really like, and who was in Weapons. Like, I just think that this has some cool vibes to it, and I'm interested to see it. I've never watched a Resident Evil movie, but I'm excited. And I think that, you know, I don't know. I think Zach Cregger is great, I mean, and everything that he's done.
An interesting wrinkle for sure.
Do you have a, you're anti this for some reason?
I don't think there's ever been a good Resident Evil. Like, I think they've all have you been seen them? Panned. I saw one of them. I don't remember which one. It was decades ago. But it's like a zombie sort of monster universe. That's
right.
Kind
so
of,
it feels like it should be up your alley, no?
I know, but it's sort of in that like R-rated, like nonsensical, sort of like, you know, like steampunk. I just can't get into. It has that yes. vibes. It's like, oh, the future is a disaster, but it's also kind of like weird and kitschy.
Okay.
I don't know. I haven't looked into this at all. I agree that the director is an interesting addition, but like literally looking at the Rotten Tomatoes score for any Resident Evil, none of them have gotten over 35%. Like it's like...
Yeah, it is. I'm like, it is wild that the Rotten Tomatoes scores of the franchise are 36, 19, 24, yeah. 21, 28, 37, and 30.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, I mean,
but they're making money.
Like something. He clearly likes
they're making
a challenge.
Money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
I don't
well,
know.
I'm going to say it's the highest rated entry ever at 62.
Oh, okay. Okay, cute. Yeah, I was going to say 60. So let's see. Maybe it'll wow us. Maybe it'll be like that. Well, wait, that Saw spinoff didn't really do well, did it?
Well, yeah, no, it didn't.
Yeah. Okay, sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, back so October 2nd is this movie called Digger, which is starring my beloved Tom Cruise.
Oh, and this is the Alejandro Iñárritu
yes,
film.
Yes, exactly. Of
Oscar bait.
Yeah. Yeah. So it is sort of a... Yeah. So he's the director of like The Birdman, The Revenant. So very artsy fartsy. But then this is like a movie that seems strangely upbeat or kind of... It's a black comedy. It's... He co-wrote it. It's also starring Jesse Plemons and Riz Ahmed and Emma Darcy. And it's about, how do they define it? It is about frankly, it seems like Mission Impossible, but things go wrong and he has to kind of like save it. There's not a lot of information on it. It has a cool poster and its tagline is a comedy of catastrophic proportions. So... Sort of a disaster comedy, which is great. And it has a huge budget for both. I think it's like the film itself was $125 million. And then there's a bunch of publicity already planned for it. So clearly they're excited about it. Jesse Plemons, love him. So I'm ready for this to be a hit. I want it to get 85.
I'm so intrigued by this on multiple levels. Number one, because this on paper sort of feels like a movie you would hate. Given like, did you like The Revenant?
Well,
or
exactly.
Birdman
I
or
don't
whatever?
Really
it's
love.
Like,
I like Birdman. Okay, I did not enjoy The Revenant, but it's also a disaster flick starring Tom Cruise.
I guess that is true. In your last Plemons. Movie, Bardo was really like bad, I think. And people did not really like it. And it did not do great.
Yeah.
So I am slightly concerned about that. But
oh, yeah.
what I think is interesting and potentially a positive is that this is a Warner Brothers film
mm-hmm,
that was
mm-hmm.
greenlit by the same people who have been in charge, who have taken over Warner Brothers this past year and given us Weapons, One Battle After Another,
exactly.
and Sinners, which were exactly. all incredible. So I am kind of looking at their lineup a bit and thinking, is it possible that some of these movies that are not like the sequels of things are really strong because these people have good taste? And Digger does feel like that could be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I'm willing to go along with you on this. Okay, I'm gonna say 80.
Okay. Gorgeous. And then Anne Hathaway gets another hit in my next one. October 2nd also has Verity coming out, which is a Colleen Hoover book that I hate. Okay. It's the first and only book I've given her a chance on, and it is so bad, not only in how it's written, but the story itself is so disturbing and weird, and I don't know how they're going to adapt it, because so much of it is just reading a woman's fantasies about like child abuse, and it's disgusting and gross. And Colleen Hoover just, I don't know how all these filmmakers got on board, because she has not had a hit. None of these movies are working. She's unadaptable. And no amount of star power will fix that. So I'm going to give this a 50%.
Yeah, I mean, clearly Colleen Hoover's books sell well.
Yeah.
And trash. So everyone optioned it. They're pushing them out. And then as it turns out, nobody really wants to see these. I'm a little bit confused as well, because the director of this is Michael Showalter, who directed The Idea of You with Anne Hathaway. But it's mostly like comedies. Like he did mm-hmm. The Big Sick, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, spoiler alert, like the Christmas movie this year, Oh What Fun. So I'm like, I don't know that I see him doing great with like this psychological thriller.
Yeah.
The story's bad. I also do think that there is potentially a narrative this year of like Anne Hathaway's in all these movies and they're all bad.
I'm sorry, but yeah.
which I don't like for her, but I am sort of bracing for that happening a bit. Yeah. Yeah. I could see this getting like a 40.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
We shall see. Okay, another bad movie, I think, is The Social Reckoning. Mm-hmm. This is the sequel to The Social Network. Mm-hmm. Written and directed by Aaron Sorkin. I do think that there is, there's obviously a Facebook movie to be made about mm-hmm. sort of the more recent Facebook stuff and AI and whatever. And this is based on, something that happened in 2021 about Facebook. So, like, I don't know. I'm kind of intrigued by that. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that's weird is that Jesse Eisenberg is not returning for this movie. Mm-hmm. Mark Zuckerberg is being played by Jeremy Strong, which feels like a very odd choice to me.
Yeah.
Mikey Madison is in it. Like, the cast has a lot of good people.
It's because he's it's not a sequel. Isn't that a right shtick?
I mean, yes. I guess technically it's listed as a companion piece to The Social Network. But I don't know. I feel like this is not going to be great. And I feel like Aaron Sorkin has also been a while without like an actual kind of big hit. Like, I think The Worm has turned a bit on him. You know, he had like The Trial of the Chicago 7 and Being the Ricardos, both of which like got Oscar nominations and stuff, but I kind of think are sort of jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And Molly's Game didn't do well. So I'm like, what was his last like well-received movie? Steve Jobs back in 2015.
One trick pony.
I don't know. I'm not interested in this that much. I'm going to get, and I think people will be excited to give this bad reviews. I'm going to give this a 60.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it an 80. I feel like.
Oh.
I mean, it's like anti-Facebook, right? In a way.
I guess. I mean, yes, I think that is where they're going.
I feel like if you do it just right enough, people will be like, yeah, let's get him. But we'll see.
Okay. We have The Hunger Games, Sunshine and the Reaping, which I feel like we actually don't need to spend very much time on. Yeah. There's already a trailer out for this. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, great cast.
84. And like, I guess I don't know how well the other ones did, but I feel like this will be a good movie.
Yeah, it's got I feel like it'll be like 70.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then we have Narnia, The Magician's Nephew, which is Greta Gerwig's next next entrant, and I'm very excited about this. We're overdue for a Narnia remake, and I trust her implicitly. So I'm hopeful that this will be worthy of the Thanksgiving release, and she'll get a 90%.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this. I think that she... I was a little bit confused with the with why she was doing Narnia, but I think the fact that she's doing The Magician's Nephew is really interesting because that has not really been adapted before,
yeah,
and is a weirder book mm-hmm. than The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and also like less beloved, less... Like, I think that she'll have more to do here. Emma Mackey is playing the White Witch, which I think will be fun. Carey Mulligan's in it. And also, the plum role of this movie is Uncle Andrew, the sort of, like, crazy drunk magician. And that's being played by Daniel Craig. And I'm like, that feels like it could be, like, an Oscar-supporting, you know, kind of thing if this does well. I'm very excited about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to give this a 90.
Cute. Well, and then your next big exciting movie comes out.
Yeah. Then we have Avengers Doomsday, which...
Doomsday.
There's not another Marvel movie coming out before this, right? This is the next one.
No, there's a Spider-Man. There's a Spider-Man and there's
Oh, yes. I forgot about that Spider-Man one.
I think there's one other, but maybe it's... Because it's...
There's definitely
Spider-Man.
This is the 39th film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow. And this is in phase... What phase is this? I don't
know. Doesn't matter at
this
point.
This is phase 6. Yes. So we have the Fantastic Four. Yeah. So it's Spider-Man. Then we have this Avengers. And then next December, we have another Avengers. It means we'll have a whole year without a Marvel movie. Oh my gosh. Thank God.
It's like rough. They have a lot of bad movies to tie together.
No
characters anyone really cares about.
Yes, and we haven't had an Avengers in a long time. While I do think there is the potential that somehow or another this becomes like sort of a big deal and people are excited about it, I do think it also has the potential to be like the final like death knell of a franchise that's dying. And... yeah, this is already filmed. Then no other, like, there's a bunch of other sort of Marvel movies that are like tentatively in the works, but none of them have been like a new Black Panther and stuff, but none of them have been filmed. So I'm like, I could almost see these doing poorly and then just like everybody scrapping all of these and just going back to like,
it's like even the like production word around this movie was that it was kind of a mess to film and there was some drama between the cast and
and it was originally supposed to be, you know, the Revenge of Kong or whatever with Jonathan Majors, who then they got scrapped and they had to rework it all.
But they have been like, oh, we're refocusing. Oh, Bob Iger is back. Oh, Fantastic Four was actually great.
Bob Iger has done shit so far. So Bob Iger is not helpful.
Yeah.
And the Fantastic Four, like didn't do as well as people thought it was going to.
Yeah, but critically it's like, wow, this didn't suck. And I think that's kind of where they're operating now, where it's like, is this as bad as Captain America Brave New World? Oh, okay, we're on the right track now. Here's a good review. But I do feel like this is either going to be terrible or it's going to be passable. And so I'm putting it at 80.
Okay. Then we have Dune 3.
What's your number?
Oh, what did I say? 64.
Whoa. I think that'd be a record for an Avengers movie.
No. For Avengers maybe, yes. I'm like, they've
but
definitely
maybe
had
for
some
Marvel
stinkers in this mix.
Okay, but carry us home.
Okay, we got Dune 3. Dune 3. I am excited for Dune 3.
Yeah.
This is just like, you know, it's the final of the trilogy. I do think it's a little bit interesting that this is based off the second book of the series, not the first book. Timothée Chalamet is definitely going to become sort of like the bad guy in this one, which I think is an interesting development. I mean, yes, true. I think it's going to be more Zendaya focused, hopefully, which I'm excited about. I think that, and I also think that everybody, like, everybody liked the first two Dune movies.
Yeah.
I think that if this one can sort of like stick the landing, yeah, that it will really like get a bunch of awards attention. Like, I think that this is the moment. Also, yeah, this is the first two Dune movies came out in the spring. Mm-hmm. This one is coming out in December, on mm-hmm. December 18th. Like, this is like the big holiday release. I just think that this is going to be so good. Yeah. I'm going to give this a 96.
Cute. I gave it 95.
Oh my gosh, your price is riding me. Okay, and then last but not least, a movie that does not have a release date yet that I'm sure Shelby does not want to watch or talk about is The Adventures of Cliff Booth. This is the spinoff to Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Such a jerk over here.
However, it's written by Quentin Tarantino, it is being directed by David Fincher, and this is focused on the Brad Pitt character from that movie.
Doesn't David Fincher make it worse for you, or are you like a fan?
I mean, I like David Fincher. Do you dislike David Fincher?
I think so, just as a human, probably, definitely. What has he done that I've liked? Nothing. Zodiac, kill me. Gone Girl, fine.
Gone Girl?
Seven.
Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Ego, 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 ego. Man,
The Social
man,
Network.
Man, man.
Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Yeah. That's,
Fight Club.
All of those are just so uninteresting.
Alien
to me.
3. I think David Fincher's a good director. I like Quentin Tarantino's movies in general, even though I know you don't like them. And I do think Brad Pitt is a good actor and was fun in this role.
Yeah, for sure.
I am a bit apprehensive because this does feel like sort of a weird spinoff to a, like, I feel like spinoffs to like Oscar movies don't tend to do that well. And this does sort of have the same energy as the Social Network remake. And it's interesting to me that like David Fincher's not making that. He's making this instead.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I could see this kind of going poorly. Also, I think depending on when it gets released, that could also signal a lot because it doesn't have a release date.
For sure.
Well, I think it's already filmed, hasn't it?
I have no idea. But why wouldn't it have a release date then?
Filming began in late 2020, June or July 2025 in California. So it's definitely finished filming.
Yeah.
My thing is like maybe it's going to Cannes or one like it's going
it's
to a
gonna
film festival.
It's going to be the New York Film Festival secret showing and you'll be like, no way is it this movie.
No, it's not doing that. You guys are all stupid. You're going to get stuck watching some lame ass movie.
Yeah.
And then it's me not there.
He's going to take selfies with everyone.
Okay, now you're just being mean.
No.
I don't know. I like this.
It'll probably I'm be very, a hit with the film. Bros.
I'm intrigued by this as a film.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm gonna like it, and I also don't know if it will do well.
Mm.
Although it is Quentin Tarantino, like I don't know.
Yeah. Well, to help you, I'm
and
giving
the film
it an
bros
80.
Will like it. Okay, I'll think I'll give it an 82.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah. Well, and that's really it. That's all we have to look forward to in 2026. Nothing else will ever come out, and we'll have correctly predicted everything of value. And
there are a bunch of other random movies. Like when I was looking at this list, it's like we have a new Super Mario Brothers movie, Scary Movie 6, Toy Story 5, Supergirl,
Practical Magic 2,
Godzilla Minus Zero, Meet the Parents 4, Jumanji 3. Like there's a lot of sequels and stuff. I mean, I guess there always are, but...
Yeah. No, there's stuff happening.
Okay. Well, and we'll be here to talk about some of those movies, and some of them we'll probably never speak of again, so...
Yeah, I mean, next week you have to watch all of the 28 Days Later series so we can talk about Bone Tipple.
Oh, there has to be something else coming out, right?
I mean, we can just watch.
Oh, well, Charlie the Wonder Dog, of course.
Oh,
everybody's been talking about that. Charlie the Wonder Dog.
We'll find something, but you would have permission to just watch The Bone Temple, which I think will be a fun movie. They're really good. I don't know why you're excited for Resident
I'm already watching
Evil.
Primate. We can just talk about that. I don't know. Well,
okay, yeah, we can talk about Primate.
We'll see. We'll figure something out. I feel like there's also a lot of TV going on, although I think we're sort of like in the middle of all of that.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the new Stranger Things movie is going to come out.
Oh,
the,
yeah. Stranger Things, the secret episode. Can
the warp tunnel the or warp whatever it's called. The
gate to hell. Yeah.
Wild. But okay, wow. This episode has gone long. 90 so minutes. Long. Nobody cares about it this much. Okay, we will be back next week. See you guys later. Bye.